Welcome to our paranormal afterlife. This is our paranormal afterlife, and I'm your host, Simon Bowne. And you can enjoy the extended version of this episode ad-free, along with over 200 hours of extended episodes on Patreon. This week, I'm talking to Jeremy Spillane about his book, Joan and Roger, Alive in the Afterlife. Jeremy has been receiving after-death communication from his deceased loved ones, Roger and Joan, who frequently appear on his SLS camera. Hi, Jeremy. Thanks a lot for coming on the podcast.
Hi, Simon. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
We're going to talk about your book. It's called Joan and Roger, Alive in the Afterlife. But before we get on to the content of the book, earlier in your life, did you have an interest in the idea of life after death?
Not really. I was brought up a Catholic by my father, as my two older brothers were. The three of us were taken to church every Sunday, and we were Catholics. And then each of us, when we got to our mid-teens, we stopped going to church. And I'm not sure about my brothers, but I stopped believing in all the details of the Catholic teaching. Although I still believed in God, a God of some sort, but I found afterlife and everything to do with it just too incredible to believe it was true. So at school, I did sciences, and I did fairly well at the time, and I suppose I had what you might say is a fairly traditional Western scientific belief system, I suppose. So it seems to me that most scientists on this side of the world seem to think that if you can't measure it and have it in a laboratory, then it can't be real. So in all my thoughts, I was often questioning myself, you know, is afterlife real and what happens when we die? It was a question that was near the forefront of my mind a lot of the time. But I came to the conclusion that I don't think this can be real. When I was a young child, I used to have a lot of nightmares, and I had problems at night sleeping. I always needed the light on, and I used to think I saw monsters, and that used to scare me. I used to tell my parents, you know, I've seen something. They say, oh, don't be silly, you know, there's nothing there, and there's no such thing as ghosts. I used to be frightened of all that sort of thing. I used to have to sleep with the light on until I was probably sort of 8 years old or thereabouts. So life after death was something that I, and ghosts and all the rest of it, everything paranormal, I suppose, was something I could have believed if I saw my own evidence. But as I got older, I used to tell myself there's no such thing. And I ruled out life after death at that point, I think. So I spent most of my life, the next few decades, believing there wasn't life after death. Joan and Roger, right up until the end, didn't believe in life after death. And he told me that there's no such thing as life after death. Once you die, you die. That's the end. That's it. And so anyway, 2017, all of a sudden, Joan died. And I think it had been felt by everyone, really, particularly Roger. Roger had had lots of health problems, and it was felt that Roger would be the first one to die. But Joan, surprisingly to all of us, died first. And she did have a heart problem, but she didn't make a lot of her health issues. And she died totally without warning, totally suddenly. And they were both sat at home in their living room, and Joan just was standing up out of her chair to get up to leave the room, and she just collapsed and died instantaneously. Didn't have time to say goodbye to Roger. As soon as she died, within a day or 2 days, we can't remember exactly, but within a very short time of her dying, Caroline and I got signs at our house that she was still around. We had all sorts of things start happening straight away, such as televisions turning on and off in our bedroom and in other parts of the house, lights turning on and off, immediately Karen and I both knew it was Joan, and we loved these signs. It was great to get signs from her and to know that she was still around, but it was a surprise. As I say, no one had ever done that to us before. So I put the fact that we got the signs down to the fact that Joan had died instantly and hadn't had a time to say goodbye to anyone. And I think she was probably wanting to say to us, you know, I'm still here, and perhaps trying to say goodbye with her signs even.
Was there any point Roger talked about getting signs from Joan? Or do you think she wouldn't go to him because he was a non-believer?
That's right. I think he never mentioned it, and I don't think he... I don't think Joan would have given him signs because he didn't believe in life after death. So when we told Roger, you know, which we did, obviously, we've had these odd things happen, and we're sure, or we think, it's Joan giving us some signs. And I don't think Roger knew what to say. I think we'd sort of dumbfounded him, and he sat there with a strange grin on his face, not saying a word, literally. And he just didn't know what to say. And he obviously thought Karen and I were complete nutcases, I think. I think that was his view. And if he hadn't had any signs from Joan, I think he might have said something strange happened, or he might have given us a clue. Maybe his facial expression might have given it away when we said we've had some signs, but he never did. So I'm fairly sure, as you say, that I think Joan was protecting him because she knew he didn't believe in life after death. And she probably knew that if she had given him some signs, it might have scared him so much, he might have had a heart attack and joined her pretty quickly. So I'm fairly sure that it was just Karen and I who got the signs. And even Karen's sister, Alison, as far as we know, I don't think that she got any signs either. So yes, Joan died 2017, just before Christmas 2017. We visited Roger regularly and we'd do whatever. And Roger then started to sort of slightly rebuild his life after Joan had died. So he started getting active again. And he did go for one or two holidays by himself, or occasionally which, you know, one or two other people for company. He got friendly with a lady who Joan and Roger had known, but this lady had lost her daughter, who was in her 40s. She'd died suddenly with no warning. So Gudrun, this lady, was a good friend to Roger, and she's actually being one of the people who's endorsed my book, which is lovely. And she's a total skeptic, as Roger was, but it's nice that she's open-minded enough to read the book and appreciate the things. And we have even taken her to a medium. This one of the mediums in the book actually is Stephen Holbrook, who is a Yorkshire medium, but he goes all over the country and abroad doing his shows. And he was really instrumental in helping us with Roger. In fact, Roger, the skeptic who didn't believe even life after death, came through with an amazing reading through a Stephen Holbrook show 3 weeks after Roger had died. Well, actually, it was Colin, Alison's husband, who had first told us about Stephen Holbrook some years previously, because when Colin's father died, Colin had seen an advert for Stephen Holbrook in the local paper, and he knew nothing about him, but he just saw the advert and thought, oh, a medium, I ought to go and see him. And this was just within days of his dad dying. So he went to see Stephen Holbrook, and his dad came through with the absolutely fantastic message just literally days after Colin's dad died. So Colin recommended Stephen to us, and then we'd been many times actually, and we'd never had any personal messages until Roger came through 3 weeks after he died. So that the sorts of things that Roger said through Stephen Holbrook that prove he was there talking to us through the medium, things like Caravan was the only one with Roger in the hospital when Roger died. Karen's holding his hand, so Roger said that, and that was true. So the three others, myself, Alison, and her husband Colin, we all went down later once Caravan rang us and told us that her dad had died. So we all went to go to the hospital and be with Roger, you know, when once he'd died, and we were with him in his room. So Roger said that through Steve. And he also said that a few days before Roger died, as he'd left the house in an ambulance to go to the hospital for his final time, he'd said to the ambulance people, you know, I'm worried, I've got three new plants, climbing plants in pots, they're in my porch. Could the ambulance people move them into his garden so that they get some rain, which they did. And Stephen Holbrook mentioned these three climbing plants as part of his message. Another part of the message was that Roger had been buried with the wrong shoes, and that's right. He was supposed to have some black shoes, but Alison couldn't find them or whatever. Ended up with some brown shoes, which is true, so they weren't the right shoes. And another point was that Roger was buried with a selection of books in his coffin, which is true, because Roger was a, you know, book fanatic. Roger was a very highly educated man. He graduated from Oxford University, and then he was a teacher for the first few years of his career, and then he gradually got into other things. But he held education and knowledge, you know, very, very highly. They were some of the most important things in his life, along with all his books. So education, knowledge, books, they were sort of Roger's probably main things, top priorities, if you like.
If I could ask, so after Joan died, you got signs pretty much immediately. Did you get anything from Roger quite quickly? And did you get any kind of message like he was going, holy moly, this is real?
Yes, as soon as Roger had died, within literally a day or two, as with Joan, we got some signs. So as with Joan, Roger gave us a load of and electronic signs, and we knew they were Roger and not Joan, because after the 4 years that Joan had been dead, her signs sort of gradually reduced in number, although she would still give them occasionally, you know, if there's a reason to. But as soon as Roger died, suddenly we were deluged with more electrical and electronic signs. So, but Roger's were slightly different to Joan's in the main. So the electrical signs that Roger gave of us were things like tripping out the power in our house with the resettable circuit breakers in the fuse box. He would either trip out one or more circuits. Sometimes he might trip out the whole lot for the whole house. And when the circuit breakers tripped out, they often went with quite a bang. And if the current rating on these circuit breakers is to be believed, then, you know, he was giving somehow a real surge of electricity through the system. And actually, over the years, he has damaged four circuits where I've had to replace wiring, because it turns out he must have melted the wires slightly, and gradually earth leakage problems would develop. And on several of these circuits, I found that the earth wire was actually must have been melted or broken in a place where I couldn't get to it, you know, where it's buried in the wall or the floor. And I've had to rewire part of four circuits, and I put that all down to Roger. So he would trip out power, and he would maybe just trip out some lights in the house. He would fiddle with the, you know, make things happen with the iPhones. We, Caroline and I, both have iPhones, and we did do a lot of recording of video, and a lot of it for this, you know, once we realized we were getting signs from Roger, we would regularly record using the iPhone as a video recorder. And we could see light anomalies that I put down to Roger. I would go through videos that we'd recorded very religiously, and then sort of backtrack through it and look very carefully and hunt things. And obviously some light things might just be a stray reflection or whatever, but I felt I could tell which were genuine light anomalies that could be Roger, like a sort of moving little orb or something like that. But he would also manipulate the phone occasionally. So there are times when it was, I think, four days after Roger died, we went to the grave where Jobin was, and Roger was going to be joining her in the grave when he had his funeral. So 4 days after Roger died, so this is before his funeral, we went to the cemetery, and by this stage, we'd already started recording video using the iPhone. There was one particular incident that made us start recording everything. And when there was other charts, we thought that there might be something to look at and to see in the way of a sign from Roger or Joan. So we went to the cemetery 4 days after Roger had died, and we had to retrieve various things from the grave because when the funeral happened, obviously any decoration would be in the way. So there was particularly a potted plant. It was a rose that was on Joan's grave. So we went with the wheelbarrow to fetch these things. I was pushing the wheelbarrow and Caroline filmed with the iPhone. And Caroline recorded, and I didn't spot it straight away. It was actually a few weeks before I looked at the video carefully, but eventually found some things. And one of the strange things that I think Roger must have triggered is when Caroline recorded the video, it was actually on half speed. It was recorded, you know, at slow speed. And that was strange because Caroline hadn't selected that. So I think Roger must have altered the setting on the phone as she recorded it. So what we did notice then actually was that on this potted rose, when you look really carefully, there appeared to be little flies flying around the rose. I didn't notice them at the time when we were actually there, and it looked like quite a few, and I think if the flies had been genuine physical flies, I'm fairly sure I would have noticed them, but I didn't. So on the video you can see all these what look initially like little flies, but when you zoom in and look very carefully, they appear to be not physical flies, but they're like little flying blobs of light. So they're either black and then sometimes they instantly turn to white and then they'll disappear, or they're white and then they turn to black and they might disappear, and they appear to be coming out of or into the soil around the rose. So I have read about spirit flies, and that's what I think they might be. So I'm thinking, obviously could be wrong, we'll perhaps never know, but I think they could be the each one could be an individual spirit, maybe, of a relative who were maybe coming to greet Roger, and they were there before his funeral. So it's well known that, well documented, that people, when they die, they do have relatives come to greet and take them into the afterlife. And in fact, that is something that did happen with Roger that Caroline told me about 3 weeks. 2 or 3 weeks before he died, he was at home. He was sat on his settee, and you know, he wasn't delirious or anything like that. And he told Caroline, said to her, "Yesterday, when I sat on the settee, my brother Tony came and sat next to me. And he didn't say, didn't make anything of it, as if he said it as if it was totally normal. Well, Tony was his younger brother who had died 2 years previously, and Roger, not believing in an afterlife, he just said it as a matter of fact that Tony was there, sat next to me, and we talked and what have you, and then he was gone onward. So I'm sure that was Tony coming to get Roger. And I said to Karen at the time when she told me this on the day it happened, I said, "Oh, I wonder if that means your dad's only got a couple of weeks left to live." And that is what happened. And I know that this does happen. The relative often does come 2 or 3 weeks or whatever before someone dies. I'm sure that's what happened there.
Yeah, there's deathbed visions that a lot of nurses in hospitals see it, in hospices. So it's a well-known phenomenon. It's being studied.
Yes, I have read about it, and I have read about it by nurses who have documented it, and they seem to have proved it. You know, there's several people who corroborate what the dying person was looking at, what they saw, and several people in the hospital have said, "Oh yes, that does seem to be what happened." That they all seem to have the same idea. You know, even if they weren't all with the patient at the time, it seems to be a a thing that seems to be almost beyond doubt, as far as I can tell. So yes, that definitely, I'm sure, happened that day.
I wanted to ask you about the equipment, because you have the camera and the meter and a thing called an Ovilus 3.
The thing that made us start doing this, actually, is we were at a local cemetery, not where Joan was. We were just at the local cemetery in Goole, where you were allowed to walk dogs. And we were walking around, and Caroline spotted this blackbird that was having a bath in the little recess where you put a funeral vase, an urn, and it was full of water, this little recess, and the blackbird was bathing in it, splashing around. And Caroline thought, that's interesting. She looked, and she thought she saw a light anomaly on the grass in front of this grave, so she filmed it on video. And then for a while, I thought that was a genuine light anomaly, but actually sometime later, I realized it was just a stray reflection that was being reflected from a nearby grave, I think it was. The sun was out, and it was just coming in such a way that it appeared to be a little spherical light anomaly on the grass in front of this grave where the blackbird was. So that made us start filming videos, just in case we ever saw anything. And so we were always recording videos. And for the next 6 months after Roger died, we would record iPhone videos when we went to the cemetery where Roger had been buried and where Joan was already buried before Roger joined her. So he died in April, and right up until November, December of that year, for the next 6 months, we recorded videos on the iPhone. I'd study them religiously, and, you know, a number of times we saw light anomalies on these things. And since Jonah died in 2017, I'd been watching all sorts of programs on television and video, and I've read hundreds of books, things like ghost hunting books and programs, and I've been watching ghost hunting programs, which is something I never used to do prior to any of this. As I say, I had been scared as a child of ghosts and things like that. But I felt, since Joan gave us all those signs, I felt I must find out what's going on. I need to read up and watch the program and see what's happening and on what people can find, you know, what they can see. And particularly, I was very interested in what people could get on camera. And so I was watching all these things, and I could see that some of these ghost hunting programs, even though they seem a bit, well, very gimmicky, most of them, they tend to film at night, and they've got all this various electronic equipment, all different things. But I could see that some of it did seem to work, and I was convinced that some of it genuinely worked. And Caroline kept saying, "Why don't I get some ghost hunting equipment?" I said, "No, I'm really scared. I don't want to, because I'm scared of what could happen, you know, evil entities and demons, all that sort of thing, which you can attract, apparently, if you do things in the wrong way." And I said, I'm never going to be filming at night because I'll be scared stiff. I just wouldn't need that. So she kept saying it just gently but persuasively. And then eventually I said, okay, well, what I will do then is I might get some equipment. We'll try Roger out with some basic equipment, seeing, and if he seems to be communicated, and then I might buy some other things which I think work. But this stuff isn't cheap, and I said, you know, it won't be cheap to do, but we'll try it, and then if it doesn't work, we can hopefully sell it and recoup our money. So the first thing I got was this K2 meter, which you can see here, and they're a very simple device, and they're American, and they weren't designed for ghost hunting, but they're just measure the electric field around something, so like a television or a microwave oven, and they'd be designed for people to check the electric field levels in a house or an office or whatever, just to make sure that the levels are safe. But ghost hunters found that spirits could activate these, and I'd seen these on programs, and they do work very well. So this thing, it's a genuine K2 meter, and it was new. It was just over £40, which is nothing really. So I bought this, and we took it to the cemetery where Roger and Joan were. And as soon as I turned it on, at Roger's Roger and Joan's grave, started talking, saying, "Roger, are you there?" And then he's flashing little lights on this K2 really, really strongly. And as you can see, there's just one green LED on all the time when it's on and nothing's happening. But yeah. If you get a reading, it will light up all the LEDs. So it'll go right up to the red one at the end. I think there's five LEDs altogether. And that would be the strongest reading. And Roger's flashing this thing right into the red when we talked to him. And he was using it as if he was acknowledging what we were saying or saying yes. So we could have a proper conversation with him with this, which seemed bizarre. So their grave is actually 200 yards from the nearest road. So it's not near any power cables or there's no lighting in the cemetery. So anything that makes this activate, this K2 meter, must be something. And I think it must be a spirit. I was very careful not to have it too near any other electrical equipment like our phone, but I've found that it has to be very close to the phone for the phone to activate it. And when the phone activates it, it tends to be if there's a, say, an incoming message or call, and you'll see the meter perhaps flash in sympathy with the sort of noise you might hear from a phone when it interferes on a, you know, a loudspeaker or something like that. So I can tell if something is triggering it. But anyway, we'd ask Roger, I'd say to him when I first turned it on, "Are you there, Roger?" And he'd flash the K2 a lot. And then we'd just have almost a conversation with him, and he was using this to answer us. And so I said, Karen suggested I get some equipment, some ghost hunting equipment, and we've got this as a first thing. And I said, if it works, which it obviously is doing because you're activating it, I said, we'll get some more equipment. There's two bits of equipment I'm planning to get, which I've seen on these programs that works. One of them is an SLS camera. And one of them is this Obelus 3 that you just mentioned. And so the SLS camera, it's a special camera, and it's basically a computer game sensor. So the Microsoft Xbox games that they used to make, but they're obsolete now. They used to have a sensor and it allowed people playing a video game in their living room or whatever. The sensor would be on the top of their television set and it would detect physical human beings in the room and it would track them and follow them and it would create an avatar which would then feed into a computer console, and on the screen on the television they would see, say, tennis players or whatever, and as the person moved in the living room, the sensor would pick them up and it would transform their position into, you know, tennis players on this computer game on the screen. So what people found apparently was that these Xbox sensors sometimes, apart from seeing real human beings, which is what it's designed to do, it would sometimes put a stick figure on when there was no physical human being in shot, and people realized that it was actually, they thought, seeing spirits. And so that's what these SLS cameras are. It's one of these sensors. They're called SLS, stands for Structured Light Sensor, and it sends out a million infrared dots, and they work up to a distance of about 12 feet away, and beyond that it can't detect, you know, it can't work, that's too far away. So at 12 feet away, a million infrared dots, each dot is about 3 millimeters away from the next one. Somehow, if the infrared is sent out from the camera and then when it comes back, it can detect if that dot has moved slightly, and using that system somehow with a whole pile of clever electronics inside the camera sensor, it can detect if something has moved and then it can track it. It can detect there's something there. And to go with the sensor, there's a whole load of very clever software that's in this tablet computer underneath. And together they run the SLS camera system. So on this monitor screen here, you end up with a picture. And on mine, the Microsoft software is really nice because you see just an ordinary picture of the room that we're in at the moment, say. And then if a spirit showed up, you'd see a green stick figure on that. The reason I've got an extra monitor screen is because the standard view from the SLS camera sensor is reversed, and that's how they all are apparently. And I had a devil of a trouble trying to get the picture the right way around. But in the end, and I've got this extra monitor screen, which gets me the picture the right way around. So if Roger shows up, we'd see a green stick figure on this screen. So I said to Roger, we'll get one of these SLS cameras because I've seen them on television and they do seem to work. And if you are around Roger, which you seem to be because you're flashing the K2 meter, then, you know, you might be to show up on the SLS camera and we'd love to see you. So the whole reason for getting this equipment was just to track down Roger as a spirit and maybe Joan as well. And the other equipment is the Obbins 3, which I'd seen working. And there, it's basically a talking dictionary with over 2,000 words in its database. And somehow spirits can activate this and they can make a word show on the little screen of the obelisk, and also it can announce it. You know, basically it's a talking device, but because it's about 20 years old now, it's a very old-fashioned computer voice, a bit like Stephen Hawking used to have. So it can be a bit distracting, the sound a bit, but I said to Roger, I'm going to order this equipment and we'll see what happens. So a couple of weeks after they're trying in with the K2 meter, both bits of equipment arrived from America. And so I took them to the cemetery where I thought I would find Roger if I'm going to find him anywhere. And Caroline was at work that way. It was just before Christmas 2022. So I took the equipment to the cemetery. It was freezing cold weather, way below freezing. And I had Poppy, our beloved pet spaniel, with us. And she and I, between us, we put the equipment on and we were trying to see if Roger would show up. And as soon as I put the SLS camera on, Roger's there showing up on the screen instantly and is there as a green stick figure showing up, you know, against the gravestones or whatever. I put the equipment on by his grave because I thought that's where he'll be. And I think a lot of people think that spirits hang out in graveyards, but looking back, I don't think that's probably the case. But anyway, Roger knew I'd be going there and he showed up. So I was absolutely amazed. It was so overwhelming emotionally. You know, it was such a thing to see what I knew was Roger on screen. So had the camera on for over 20 minutes and he was there basically all that time. And eventually I said, "That's amazing, Roger. I can't believe this. I'm actually going to have to go now because Poppy, the spaniel's getting a bit cold and I'm freezing as well." And I said, "We'll come back in a couple of days at the weekend when Caroline won't be at work and I'll bring Caroline with me." And I said, "Will you show up again and can you try and bring Joan with you next time? Hopefully we can, Caroline and I can meet you and Joan." So that's how that was left. So that's what we did.
Hello, Simon here. I conduct past life regression therapy sessions over Zoom, and these sessions can be very insightful and healing. If you go to my website, pastlifeshypnosis.co.uk, you can book a free 20-minute consultation where we can discuss what it is you would like to achieve. You'll find the link to my website in the show notes. How can you be sure that the camera, the equipment, is definitely got a spirit in front of it? And also, how can you be sure it's Roger?
I know skeptics say that these cameras aren't really seeing spirits, and that there's a lot on the internet, of course, with skeptics who say these SLS cameras don't see spirits. All that's happening is they say that the camera is seeing things and it's misinterpreting what it's seeing. So it might be looking at shapes that it detects in its field of view. So for instance, you can see this camera is looking in that corner of our room at the moment, and our room is full of heavily patterned wallpaper and there's various window frames and all sorts of bits and pieces. So skeptics would say the camera is just seeing things and it's misinterpreting what it's seeing, and then it thinks, oh, there's something there, and it puts a stick figure on it. So I know this is a common criticism of people, but I felt it was Roger. And as people who look at the book when it's published shortly, we'll find out. And by the way, the book's called Joan and Roger Alive in the Afterlife, and it's available now to pre-order on Amazon. So I was aware, as time went on, I was recording every video session I had with the camera, and I was recording it because I knew at some point I might want to refer back to it. And it didn't take me long to realize I'm going to have to do something with this. And I realized I was going to have to write a book, because Roger being such a book fanatic, I needed to tell the story, and it was going to have to be a book and somehow combine the video. So I straight away knew I'm going to have to get some sort of scientific corroboration for what we've seen, and I need people to confirm that, firstly, that the camera really is seeing spirits, and also, even though the ovulus talking dictionary was quite impressive, every now and again Roger would come out with a very suitable word, but not every word he came out with was suitable. And with the ovulus, you can only, the person, the spirit, can only say one word at a time. So it's not a conversation by any means. And even though he might say the occasional word that made me think, oh yeah, that's Roger, but obviously to a skeptic, it wouldn't prove that at all. And it wasn't a conversation even to me. So I realized I needed to do more. So at that point, I realized I wanted to get some mediums involved to try and help me to confirm that I'm seeing Roger on the camera, on the equipment. And I needed scientific corroboration that this camera really is seeing spirit. So I didn't really know where to start. I started contacting any mediums I could find, you know, on Google or whatever. I was trying to find local ones that we could meet in person. And I had a few mediums who said, oh, I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing. If I'm trying to look for spirits, I might just trap them here on Earth and I'd be really causing them harm, you know, causing them problems. I shouldn't be doing this at all. And that really frightened me. I thought, God, I don't do anything bad. I don't want to trap Joan and Roger here on Earth against their will or against their ability to go to the afterlife, wherever they're supposed to be. But I did actually speak to a great medium, Ali Mather, who's just a few miles from where we live, about 20 miles away in Yorkshire. And she was really positive, and it turned out she was a fantastic medium, and she knew this equipment. She uses it herself sometimes, and she was really helpful. And so Karen and I went to see her, and we had a reading with her, with the view, the aim of getting Roger to come through to her and give us some messages. And we took the equipment, and Roger did show up initially in her room where we were having this meeting. Roger was there showing up as a spirit on the camera, and then Ali was making some coffees for us. And after a few minutes, once she made the coffee, she came in the room, and then Roger disappeared. His stick figure disappeared. And I said to Ali, I said, oh, Roger was here. It's such a shame. And as he walked in the room, he disappeared. He seemed to sort of go into you, basically, and then disappear. And she said, oh, that's good, actually. It means he's blending with me. And that means, you know, he might give me an even better message, which is what happened. So Roger came out with a fantastic message through Ali Mather. So she confirmed that Roger was here showing up to us. She could tell through her mediumistic skills, or however you describe it, that she could tell that Roger and Joan were showing up to us. We weren't in danger of trapping them on Earth. They come and go freely as they choose, and they're choosing to show to us, and they're choosing to look after us and watch over us. And she said there's no danger of you causing them any harm. And another thing that a lot of experts, mediums I was reading about in their various books were saying is that after a couple of years, there's generally spirits who, you know, souls of people who have died tend to stop showing up. So I had this major worry that after a couple of years, Joan and Roger would stop showing up. So I felt compelled to sort of get on with things and make the most of it while they were showing up, always fearing that they would at some point stop showing up. But as it stands, it's 3 years since I got the equipment, and they're still showing up. Like today, they were showing up earlier when I was testing the equipment. So there was the medium aspect, and Ali Mather is featured in the book. And we got two other excellent mediums. So I've already mentioned Stephen Holbrook. He was really instrumental in everything. So each of these three mediums have each had their own skills, a particular angle that they've confirmed Joan and Roger from. And Stephen Holbrook was so helpful. He only does public shows. He wouldn't do a one-to-one, which I was sad about at the time, but in actual fact, that's how he works, and I'm fine with that. And he let us take the equipment to one of his shows where we used it and filmed them. We did see a number of spirits on the camera, on the SLS camera, and one of them we're sure is Roger. Stephen Holbrook was coming up to his interval where he has a break, and he tells the audience that there's my books here for sale. If anyone's interested, you know, come up and buy them or have a look at them. And while he was saying that, there was a spirit behind Stephen Holbrook, and he seemed to be pointing at the book. And Caroline is sure that was Roger. So we've got these three mediums who've confirmed it's Joan and Roger. And the third medium, who I haven't mentioned yet, is an amazing medium from America, in America, Liz Murphy. And it's a strange, convoluted story how we came to hear about her. It was via some sort of knitting website. Caroline, my wife, was into knitting, and she was buying stuff from this person online, knitting things. And then this knitting person suddenly sent Caroline a message saying, oh, I'm not doing the knitting anymore, but I am becoming a medium, and I'm going to be doing it. And if you want a free medium, you can have one there to try me out, sort of thing. And that's how we came to have her do us a reading. So we did have a reading with her, and I used the equipment. So in our house here in England, had the equipment on while she was on a video call with Caroline. She did a reading, and Joan, Roger, they were there, but Karen hadn't told this Liz that we were using the equipment. I was a bit worried about that. I said to Karen, you know, you want to tell her we're using it? And Karen said, no, I don't want to, because if I tell her and nothing happened, then I don't know, I might have spoiled it. And if Mum and Dad do show up, then, you know, we'll tell her about it after the event, sort of thing. So we did tell her after the event, and she was obviously very upset because we hadn't told her, and I had been worried about that. So for some time, actually, Liz Murphy was very upset with us, and I fully understand why, and I was really sad that we'd upset her. And in the meantime, I was searching for other mediums, and there was a very famous American medium who I'd seen on television, and that I thought, oh, she's going to be the one, she'll be great, and I'll try and get her to agree to it. So eventually persuaded her to do a reading for us, and I did tell her we were going to use the equipment, but I think she can't have fully understood what I was telling her for some reason. I don't know why. She was one of these people that perhaps talks a bit too much and perhaps didn't listen enough to what I was saying. But anyway, we had a reading with her, and in all honesty, she was no good for us at all. She didn't come up with anything that we thought, yes, that's Joan and Roger coming through to her. And it was a major disappointment. And when we told them we'd use the equipment, she went a bit berserk, to be frank. So that was a big disappointment. And anyway, that was that. So this Liz Murphy, who had already upset a year previously, I said, look, you know, we had this famous medium, and it was a total disappointment. And I'm really sorry what we did a year ago with you, but would you have another go doing a reading with us? And we'll use the equipment, and, you know, everything will be above board. And she came round. She was really pleasant, and she offered to do this reading, which we had. And anyway, we had this reading on this video call, and Joan and Roger did show up right at the beginning of the reading, and they were there for the whole hour virtually on the SLS camera. They were just, Joan and Roger were sat next to Karen on the settee, basically, while Liz came out with this reading, and Liz came out with this amazing reading for Joan. It was absolutely spot on, and she did come out with a great reading for Roger as well. And she was saying things to Karen like, you know, would you say your dad was a bit selfish and it was all about him? I said, yes, that's exactly it. And she was describing her mum to a T, and Liz Murphy was saying, I'm seeing a picture of your mum surrounded by children. Did she have lots of children? And Karen said, no, I don't understand that. And then suddenly it hit Karen, said, oh, yeah, she was a nursery nurse. She was surrounded by children. She loved children. She was great with them. And everything Liz said about Joan was absolutely spot on. It was fantastic. So that was great. So Liz confirmed that Joan and Roger come to us freely, you know, of their own volition, and they're around because they choose to be. So the three medias basically confirm that what we are seeing on the camera is Joan and Roger. And another thing Liz Murphy said was to Caroline, she said, if you see butterflies, that's your mum giving us signs. And that is, we have had that, and we had that before she told us that. We've had some amazing butterfly signs from Joan. So we had the vindication from the mediums that it's Joan and Roger showing up on the camera, and they are coming to us. But obviously it's possible that I might film a spirit, maybe, and I might think it's Roger and it isn't really, but we will maybe never know that. But the scientific validation I wanted, I initially, as I say, I didn't know who to turn to for that. And I initially contacted Rupert Sheldrake, the world famous biologist and author. And I've read a number of his books since Joan had died to understand things. And I was fascinated with what he was describing, where he describes that, telepathy is real. He's devised all sorts of experiments that have been done very meticulously, you know, with large numbers of people. And it proves conclusively that telepathy is real, that it's a real thing. And I was fascinated with all his theories about animals and how they're telepathic, and especially things like shoals of fish and birds that fly, like murmurations of starlings, how they all sort of operate in unison. And apparently it's too, the response of a brain is too slow, and the response to their muscles is too slow to explain these shoals of fish and murmurations of starlings. The behavior couldn't be accounted for by their sort of conscious brain reacting to their neighboring bird or fish and responding quickly. So there seems to be some sort of telepathic reason how these animals can all behave different like that. So I contacted Rupert Sheldrake and I showed him some of the videos that I'd taken, and he said, it's very interesting, but he said, you know, what do you want me to do about it? And I said, well, I'm wanting scientific validation because I'm writing a book and people need to know that this camera really is seeing spirits on it, and that's what I'm wanting. And he said, well, you know, I don't do that. And I said, well, who should I speak to? And he said, well, and he put me onto the Society for Psychical Research, and they're the oldest organization in the world who was set up to investigate, look for proof of life after death. And they're still going all these years later. They were set up in the mid-1800s at some point. And they investigate this type of thing. So he put me onto them, and I had trouble getting through to someone who, was the right person to speak to. So I was put on from one person to another and had trouble with the emails, didn't seem to get through and that. But eventually, after a protracted effort, I spoke to someone who was interested, and they saw the videos that I sent, and they said, yes, it's interesting. And I was wanting them to come and investigate Roger, because that's what they do. Apparently they send out two investigators and they investigate, and if they rule out all supposedly normal explanations for something, then they might conclude that it is something paranormal or supernatural. So I was wanting them to come out, see the film we'd taken on the SLS camera, and I wanted them to confirm, yes, that camera really is seeing a spirit. So we got one potential investigator, Aaron Lomas, who was a PhD parapsychology student at Northampton University. So he's a member of the SPR, and he's a member of the Spontaneous Cases Committee of the SPR, and it's them who come out and investigate these sorts of cases. And he was interested in coming to see Roger, and he was trying to get a colleague to come so that it would be a proper investigation. But after a lot of trying, he wasn't able to get a colleague to come. No one was free or interested or what, I'm not sure. So eventually I said to Aaron, I said, well, can you come by yourself and meet Roger, hopefully, and investigate and see what you make of it? So in the end, he agreed. He said, okay, I'll come. So he came up for the weekend, and I showed him all the videos we'd got, and he took all his meticulous notes. And obviously, as he's trained to do, he was checking everything. And in all those investigations, he told me when I'm ghost hunting to, make a note of everything, the room temperature and the, all the various conditions. So he was trying to get me to write reams of paperwork before I start filming. And I said, well, I appreciate that that's how you do things and that's what you're trained to do. But I said, if I did that, I think Roger would get bored, especially Joe would get bored, and they probably wouldn't show up. I just need to get filming. So the way I have my equipment set up, I film everything with my iPhone, but I have all the equipment that I'm using in shot to the iPhone, and then I save all these recordings, and I can refer back and see if the various bits of equipment sort of activate at the same time, corroborate each other, for instance. So if the K2 meter here flashes, say, that might be Roger activating it, and it might do that possibly at the same time as the obelisk comes out with a very suitable word. So Aaron came up for the weekend, and he looked at all the videos, and he saw the camera working, and he was making all his notes, and he was sort of interested, but he wasn't fully convinced. So as you were saying earlier, how do we know the SLS camera really is seeing spirits? So in our house, everywhere in our house, there's all the strong wallpapers in various rooms, there's furniture everywhere, and there's nowhere we've got a plain wall really to view things against. So skeptics will say that everything that I'm seeing in the house, where there's a stick figure shown on screen, isn't genuinely a spirit. It's just the camera being sort of fooled into thinking there's something there because of the stuff in our house. So I said to Aaron, I said, what would it take for you to agree that this SLS camera really is seeing spirits? And he said, well, if we could use the camera in a totally plain room, hopefully one with a totally plain white wall, for instance, where there's no features on the wall, if we saw a spirit on that, then that would commit me. So I said, okay, let's try and do that. And although Aaron knew about SLS cameras, he wasn't totally familiar with them. So I said, look, I'll send you an SLS camera, because these things, you can still buy them unused in a box, even though they're obsolete. They'd be an old stock, brand new, unopened in a box. And they're basically dirt cheap, really. And so I said, I'll send you one of these SLS cameras. You have a look at it, see what you make of it, do all the various assessments you want to do. And then once you're familiar with it, if we meet up, and I'll bring mine down as well, and we'll do some tests together. And so it was agreed that that's what we would aim to do. So I think it was about, coming up to 2 years ago, actually, now. It was coming up to Easter, and I said to Aaron, look, Easter's coming up. Could we perhaps meet at Northampton University and do the test there? And he said, yeah, that'd be okay. And there won't be many people, if any, at the university, and I'll hire a room, book a room, and we'll do our test there, and we'll have the two cameras, and we'll do tests side by side. So that's what happened. So I went down to Northampton, which is about 150 miles from where I live. And I did say to Roger, because I get the feeling Roger's really keen to do whatever he needs to do to help, obviously, to convince people what we're seeing really is him. You'd want the corroboration for the book. And it was him that instigated the book in the first place, I'm certain. So I said to him, look, I'm going to go down to Northampton. And he obviously knows all this. I don't really need to say it verbally, but anyway, I just do. Just sits there on camera or whatever. And I said, look, we'll go down, we'll meet at Northampton, and obviously I want you to come and show up there. And I'd already by this stage found that he will show up wherever I go and turn the camera on. So if I go 20 miles away, 30 miles away, when I've been to my daughter's 30 miles away in Bradford, we've had the camera on, he'll show up there, and he showed up at Ali Mather's place, which is 25 miles away, you say. So I knew that wherever we turn on the camera, he'll show up. And that's actually one thing I didn't say. The first time we used the camera was at the SLS camera was at the cemetery, but I very soon realized that I don't have to be at the cemetery. I can do it at our own house, which is 4 miles from the cemetery. And wherever I am, he'll show up. So I'm certain spirits don't generally hang out at the cemetery. It was just Joan and Roger were meeting us there when we had the equipment. So in all the time at the cemetery, we've only ever seen maximum two spirits. If all the spirits hung out at the cemetery, you'd probably see dozens of them on camera, but we never did. So I know they don't generally hang out there. So when I've used the camera at our house, that's where Roger is. And wherever we go and we turn the camera on, Roger will show up. So I said, if we go to Northampton, 150 miles away, I need you to show up there, and this will be really important for the book. And I knew he would be there if he could. So Aaron and I met up at this plain white room in Northampton University, and we turned the cameras on. Aaron had his camera, I had my camera, and we were planning to do tests together. So Aaron's making all these notes at a table, and I said, you carry on with making your notes, and I'll just turn my camera on, and I'll look around, see if Roger has shown up in the room. So I turned the camera on, and after a while, I still can't see Roger, and I'm starting to sweat a bit, because I'm thinking that it's really important Roger does show up, and I can't see him. And although the camera is generally very reliable, as with all computers, every now and again they seem to play up, and you have to restart them or whatever. So after about, I think maybe getting on about half an hour, I thought, God, this thing must be playing up. So I turned it off and restarted it and then tried again. And that's the thing, when it does play up, you can't always tell, because you'll still see the ordinary background picture, but you just won't get any stick figures showing at all. I don't know. Just a few minutes of restarting it, and then suddenly I saw a stick figure showing up on the wall against this plain white wall. I said to Aaron, ah, Roger's here now. I said, don't you get up. You stay there. I'll keep filming, and then when Roger disappears, when he stops showing up, then I'll show you the film that I've made, and you can see what you think.
The book's called Joan and Roger Alive in the Afterlife. And what date is that published?
It's published in the UK on April the 28th, and so it would be delivered shortly after that. So, as I say, it's available now to pre-order on Amazon and any other place that sells books. So, in America, Barnes & Noble, and you can get it from Walmart. In the UK, you can get it on the Guardian bookshop, online bookshop, and anywhere that sells books, you can get it from. I think in America, the launch date might be just a few days behind the UK, but I'm not absolutely sure. But it does show up on the American site, no problem.
Can you tell us where people can see the videos?
Yes. Well, if anyone has a look on the Amazon site, and if they enter Joan and Roger Alive in the Afterlife, this book will come up pre-order. And on the listing for the book, there's a very good... there's a sample text of the book, and there's a picture of the book's front cover, which I'll just hold up to your camera so you can see it there. So yeah. On the book front cover, this is the actual cover of the book, there's a QR code at the bottom, and that on the Amazon advert does actually work. And if you use your smartphone or whatever on that QR code, that gets you through to our YouTube channel where all these various videos are. So in the book, can't remember exactly, about 10 chapters, and they are listed on the Amazon advert on the listing. You can see what all the chapters are about. Each chapter in the book, apart from maybe one or two, each chapter has a video associated with it, and the chapter of the book describes what you're seeing in the video. So from that QR code, you can see each chapter, the video for each chapter. But there are also a number of other extra videos on there as well, which are general things of interest that people might like to watch. So if you use that QR code and get to our YouTube channel there. You can see all these videos. They're freely available. There's no charge or anything, unlike some books where you have to pay for extra content. It's all freely available, so anyone's welcome to watch it. And anyone who then sees the videos and might be interested, then they might want to buy the book. So if anyone wants to have a look at one video in particular, I would suggest the one on the SPR investigator. So the video is entitled SPR Investigator Confirms SLS Camera Sees Genuine Spirit. And it's a 6 minute, 1 second run time. So I'll just mention that because I think there's a much longer version of that same video, but the 6 minute, 1 second one is short enough for people to see what this whole book is about. That's the SLS stick figure showing up on the plain white wall at Northampton University, where the SPR investigator Aaron Lomas confirmed, yes, that really is a spirit. So that will give people a very good flavour of what the book's all about. So, and we have got a website, so it's aliveintheafterlife.co.uk. So if anyone wants to have a look at that, from that, there's all sorts of things on the website and links to other sites and what have you, and there's links to our Facebook through that and other social media, which Caroline does. I'm not into all social media, but Caroline is excellent at doing all that. So, so yeah, that's it. So if anyone does want to look at the book on Amazon or any other bookseller's site, you can pre-order it now, and you don't pay anything until it's delivered. So why not pre-order it now and then pay for it in May when the book is sent to your house?
Well, thanks a lot for coming on the podcast.
Oh, thank you. It's been a real pleasure, and this time really has flown. But thanks ever so much. It's been fantastic.
This week, I was talking to Jeremy Spillane about his book, Joan and Roger, Alive in the Afterlife. A great way to support the podcast is to join Patreon. You'll get access to the extended episodes. The Patreon episodes are ad-free and are released 2 days before the free versions, and you can sign up for a 7-day free trial. You can become a patron by going to patreon.com/ourparanormalafterlife or click on the Patreon button at my homepage. It's pastlifeshypnosis.co.uk. The links are in the show notes. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.